Hi, this is John Vidal, The Guardian's environment editor. I'm here at the UN Climate Change Summit in Copenhagen. Well, here we are, and really, we're getting to the end game. We're not far from the finishing line. People can see an end, and it doesn't look very good. Okay, what I've been writing about today is how the talks are completely deadlocked. Ed Miliband, our climate secretary, is saying it's a very, very dangerous situation at the moment. Countries are making tiny concessions. They're getting bogged down in the process. They don't want to get down to the substance of it. Everybody's blaming everybody. But yesterday started with some high drama. When we got in, 8 o'clock in the morning, massive queues as ever. And then we discovered that the 5 o'clock in the morning, the United States had tabled a whole bunch of emotions, put brackets around half the negotiations. This brought the whole thing to a halt. An hour later, Connie Hedegaard, the Danish chair of the House, walked out, or she gave up her job.
This morning, a letter of resignation was received from Her Excellency Ms. Connie Hedegaard, President of COP15 and CMP5, from the Office of the President.
Now, on one level, this was just procedure and quite normal. Heads of state should talk to heads of state. But a lot of countries said, no, this was all pre-planned. I have to say, The Guardian had preempted this about a week ago. The rumours then were she was going to hand over because she was a little bit too radical and it had to get back into the hands of the north, of the rich countries, and they didn't want Connie in there. But we'll never know that one.
His Excellency, Mr. Lars Løkke Rasmussen, the Prime Minister of Denmark, will replace Ms. Connie Hedegaard as President of COP15 and CMP5.
Ministers are rushing around, having endless ministers. We met an Indian minister, had 60 meetings yesterday. The Bolivian delegate had 40 minutes sleep last night. They're all wandering around punch drunk, and frankly, it doesn't make for good negotiations. I spoke to the chief negotiator of Bangladesh. Now, this is one of the largest, most vulnerable countries in the world. It stands to lose 30% of its land to sea level rise over the next 50, 60 years.
I'm Dr. Hassan Mahmood, Minister of Environment and Forest. And the bottom line for Bangladesh, we must not go empty-handed from this conference. That will create a deep frustration among the people of the planet, and that will also create hatred for the political leadership. We would not accept 2-degree agreement. We could come to a compromise between 2-degree and 1.5-degree.
The NGOs are, if you like, the eyes and ears of the world. They are the people most contact with the public. They have, there are hundreds of them here, and they're colourful, they're loud, they're critical, they're raucous, and now they're being banned. Now, the UN says this is because the world leaders need the space and things like that, but there's a large group of NGOs who are very, very angry, and they say that they're being muzzled. They're saying that anybody who sticks their head up over the parapet and starts criticising the UN or these talks is basically getting cut out.
I am Andy Atkins, Executive Director of Friends of the Earth, England, Wales and Northern Ireland. We had 90 delegates, all with the right paperwork, but we were stopped when we got to the conference centre. Basically, the computer said no. Someone overnight had said we couldn't come in. We feel that at Friends of the Earth, we were one of the strongest voices inside calling for a strong and fair deal, one that's consistent with the science and consistent with justice. So if voices like ours are expelled, that actually isn't very good for anybody if we're all after the strongest possible deal that does the job, that prevents runaway climate change.
The UN doesn't want any embarrassment when the world leaders come, especially when Obama comes. They're absolutely petrified of an international incident, someone throwing themselves in front. On Friday, there will only be 90 people from civil society, from, if you like, representatives of the world, allowed into this room. And they are absolutely furious about it. There were walkouts here, but outside, there was even more going on. And fierce demonstrations, lots of people very, very upset. I couldn't see them because I was stuck in this ghastly windowless room, but fortunately we did have someone there.
My name is Bibi van der Zee. I have been covering the demonstrations out here in Copenhagen during the summit for the last 2 weeks. Yesterday was the Reclaim Power demonstration, which was where activists announced the intention of getting into the Bella Centre, taking over the space and holding their own people's assembly in the middle of the Bella Centre. In the end, that didn't happen. Massive police presence and security around the Bella Centre meant it was never really very likely to happen. The other part of the plan was that delegates from inside were going to come out and join them to form part of the assembly. Unfortunately, the delegates who did stand up and walk out were unable to get through the police line to join them. So there was a lot of disappointment about that.
Everybody link up!
Let's go!
We're doing it.
Let's go!
I'm going to do it.
Take back the talks! Take back the talks!
The industrialized countries of the North, they should acknowledge their historical responsibility for having emitted and accumulated an excessive amount of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere.
The Danish police, they tend to be padded out with massive amounts of riot gear. They look like American footballers, and Danes are tall anyway, so they're really pretty enormous and quite terrifying. And you've got your occasional officer with their waistcoat with little tear gas pellets stuck in all the pockets in case it all gets a bit out of hand. Occasionally, some of the demonstrators outside the centre would attempt to push through and get closer to the fence, at which point quite often there would be a bit of a fracas. Police were using pretty brutal methods to keep them back. There was a lot of pepper spray being used, a lot of demonstrators walking around the area with streaming eyes, red eyes, and a lot of pain and shaken and very upset. There were also a lot of batons coming down on shoulders, and batons being pushed into throats in order to move them back from the police line.
They've been using pepper spray, and they've been beating people up, both from the outside and the inside.
What I find though disappointing right now is just sort of how the police have handled the protest. That's, you know, a little bit shocking, actually a lot shocking.
Definitely one of the absolute highlights of the day was the moment when suddenly out of the crowd broke a little column of people charging down the road, and under cover of the crowd they'd inflated about 7 or 8 lilos and tied them together with ropes to make a makeshift bridge. Dogs were brought in, riot police were brought in. There were about 40 police there before anyone had got even halfway across the stream. And the activists, incredibly brave 3 activists, mad boys who climbed across, climbed up the other side and were arrested instantly.